All right, Catherine Connolly is the only name currently on the ballot, so to speak, for the presidential election. Sinn Féin, it's still unclear whether they will support them, but there are also question marks over whether other Labour members will come out against the party's endorsement of Catherine Connolly. Yesterday, Alan Kelly confirmed he voted against the move, adding he's concerned about her views on international affairs. Well, Councillor Martin Farron is Donegal's Labour rep, elected Labour representative. He joins us now. Hi, Martin.
How you doing, Greg? Nice to speak to you.
Lovely to speak to you again. Right, would you be in the Alan Kelly camp that maybe Labour shouldn't be backing Catherine Connolly?
Yes, I would be of the same opinion of Alan, as Alan, really. You know, I just felt that it needed to be said because I would have spoken to quite a few Labour supporters over the last few weeks, and I've also spoken to my chairman of the party here in Donegal, Seamus Bavaird, and Seamus would be of the same opinion as myself. You know, I just think the whole thing could have been handled much better by the Labour Party. My own opinion is I think that the Labour Party in these type of situations are very quick out of the block, you know, in these type of situations, and they could be looking maybe first of all at their own party, for example. If there's no one within the party, maybe a very high profile person outside the party. Let's be perfectly frank about it. Michael Dee has been there for 14 years now. He was a Labour man, as you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And personally speaking, I think he'll be a very hard act to follow, you know, whenever he retires in a few months' time. So I just feel that, you know, the Labour Party should be consulting their members, and they should be possibly maybe speaking also with their councillors before they come out and decide that they're just throwing their weight behind a certain candidate. And I just feel again that they jump too quickly out of the block in these types of situations, and I have to agree wholeheartedly with what Alan Kelly has said. So that's my opinion.
Is it the fact that maybe you don't necessarily agree with Catherine Connolly on everything she stands for, or is it more of the fact that, you know, Labour has shown that they can produce a very popular president and perhaps should have had a look around to see, you know, from within the ranks who might be able to succeed President Higgins, maybe build on that broader acceptance of a Labour way of doing things?
Yes, that's where I would be actually coming from. I've never met this lady, Catherine Connolly, and I'm sure she's a very nice person. And, I wish her well in the campaign. I wish anybody who's running in the election well in the campaign. But without being disrespectful, she just doesn't do anything for me.
Mm.
And, I'm not going to be lectured to by the Labour Party telling me, you know, we've decided we're supporting Catherine Connolly. So I want you to be speaking to your supporters and the people that back us in Donegal and say, look, you know, we've got to support this lady, because I don't think that's the way we should be doing it. Mm. Labour Party should have looked inside their own ranks before they, as I said, jumped out of the blocks and saying, look, we're fully supportive of Catherine Connolly in this presidential election, because there are very talented people within the Labour Party. There's also, I'm sure, very talented people and high-profile people that support the Labour Party. And I think that's the way we should have been looking at this whole scenario before deciding, well, look, this is what we're doing. We're supporting Catherine Connolly. And yes, I do feel that's the way we should have moved forward. And, you know, this is not the first time that Labour have made these types of mistakes. They just seem to, you know, come out and, make these statements. And sometimes there's not an awful lot of thought put into it.
Catherine Connolly's due up here on the 11th and 12th of September. It's quite some time away, but just to get an understanding of how this works, would you have been contacted by the Labour Party maybe to be seen with her, photographed with her, or maybe that probably might not happen now, or maybe never would have happened? I'm just curious how it works.
No, I haven't been contacted by the Labour Party to do that, but I wouldn't be doing it anyway. I am my own person, and I'll do everything that I can to support the Labour Party, and I'll do everything that I can to support the people that elected me onto Donegal County Council, but I certainly won't be dictated to or lectured to. And, you know, I think myself, Greg, really, to be honest with you, we're hearing an awful lot of names out there at the moment, and there'll probably be some talented people whenever they're all selected. And I think people really, when you're talking about a president of your country, you really want the best person in doing that job, because they're going to be representing you for 7 years. And, I would be of the opinion that people, no matter what party they supported, will be looking at these candidates and they will be deciding who they feel that they would feel comfortable with and who would make their them proud and make their country proud over the next 7 years. That's what I think. That's my own personal opinion. You know, I mean, Michael Dee has proven, as I said, he's going to be a very hard, difficult act to follow. And if I can just say one wee thing here now, and I'm moving away from it for a moment, and this is the type of person he is. I would have met him a few times, and I was out canvassing with him and things like that there. And after my wife passed away 5.5 years ago, I was in the house here, and I got this lovely letter, and it came, I'd opened it, and I'd seen the crest on it, and it was from Michael Dee Higgins.
Wow.
You know, I nearly fell through the floor, yeah. And that's being honest with you, and myself and my family. But everybody, of course, were very good to us, and we got mass cards and everything, were very good to us. But when I got that through the door, like, I was gobsmacked, you know. I just thought it was a wild, nice thing to do. Mm. And that's just the type of person he is. He's a down-to-earth man, and I think that's the type of person that we want to represent us for the next 14 years, and that's the way I look at things, you know.
Yeah, and Martin, I mean, obviously at the moment, the runners and riders, we don't really know who's coming out of the blocks. Is there anyone out there, whether their name have been associated with the position or they might, or you hope they would, is there anyone out there that fits that criteria, you know, that could follow in the footsteps of Michael Dee Higgins for you at this time?
Well, I've heard a couple of names there. I think that would be quite, I think would do a good job and would represent the country extremely well. But we'll wait until we see the whole list. At the moment, it's all rumours at the moment. And for example, I've heard this morning, and if he wishes to go, best of luck to him. I heard Piers Doherty, and then, you know, I heard Mary Lou McDonald, and I've heard just different names out there that have been thrown forward. And I think we just have to wait until we see the people that are actually going to be going forward for the presidential election. And then I think the Irish people are very, very gifted and very intelligent people, and they will want somebody of the calibre of Michael Dee Higgins to be representing them for the next 7 years.
Okay.
And there are very talented people out there. And the other thing is as well, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, political parties now feel that it should be their representative. Like a president is a president for the people of Ireland, and it doesn't necessarily have to be someone with political, you know, baggage or whatever you want to call it, political, you know.
Yeah, no, I get you. And just very finally, obviously, you know, you've had a series of frustrations within Labour. I'll just ask you, are you happy that you're in a party where you can express those frustrations within that party and move forward as a loyal member of that party, or do you ever wobble about your membership of Labour, Martin?
No, I never, from the day I joined, the day I was approached by Seamus Bevaird, I've enjoyed my time with the party, and I'm very proud to be a party member, and I'm very proud that to be a Labour Party councillor in the county of Donegal and do the very best for the people that are representing.
Okay.
No, I've never...
I anticipated that.
Okay.
Councillor Martin Farron, right, of the Labour Party, proudly of the Labour Party, thank you very much indeed for your time. Right, now, Jack Murray posted on his socials, I was asked to put out a note of caution after a local lady was badly stung by a weaver fish at Linsfort Beach. The National Poisons Information Centre of Ireland also recently issued a statement warning that weaver fish were present in Donegal. This lady advises that the poison was so strong that she burned her hands removing the sting. Enjoy the beaches, but take care. I'm not sure if there's a level of reaction to these things as you might see with, you know, wasps or nettles or clegs. But anyway, let us not be too afraid. Let us go to the sea with knowledge. Cian O'Donnell is a surfing instructor in Bundoran with lifeguard training. Cian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. This is not a new discovery, the weaver fish. They've been knocking about for quite some time, because I can remember them from a very long time ago.
Absolutely. So I just thought I'd come on just to offer a bit of information and just some practical advice, because I've had more of my fair share of experience with these weaver fish. So I'll just keep going, actually.
Yeah,
so the weaver
on.
Fish, they're in Donegal all the time. So it's not a new phenomenon. It's they're always there. So what it is, it's a relatively small, thin fish. If you Google them, they're actually quite funny looking, you know. But they submerge themselves in the sand, just below sand level, and they've got like a little stinger on the top, and you're more likely to get in contact with them at low tide. So over the last kind of 2 or 3 weeks, we've had fairly massive spring low tide. So that's probably why this incident popped up. And so what happens is, if you step on a weaver fish, it's actually technically not a poison. It's a kind of, it's called like an enzyme slash protein, and they inject it into you. So it depends where you stand. If, especially if they get the middle of the foot where the skin is generally softest, they can get more of the stuff into you. Now, in most cases, it's totally harmless. Now, I'll be honest, it does hurt. It's the stuff, it kind of goes up as it travels through your bloodstream. You get this really, it starts off as a very like dull throbbing pain, and it does get worse. But the only good news is there's a very quick fix. If you do find that you come in contact or you have been stung, your first port of call is, if it's a lifeguard at beach, go straight to the lifeguards. They'll sort you out straight away. So if you're not in a position where there's a lifeguard present, what'll neutralize this kind of enzyme that's in your foot or whatever body part is heat. So you boil the kettle and you put it in a bucket, and then there's a little hack. You maybe dip an unaffected body part just to test the water. And as soon as you can handle the heat, you submerge your foot in the hot water, and you may have to dip in and out, but as much heat as you can handle, and 99% of the time that'll actually just, the pain will go away pretty quick, within maybe in less than half an hour, within a few minutes, that'll sort that. So as far as the stinger is concerned, you don't remove the stinger. So usually you just leave it in there because unfortunately in the case that you're speaking of there, I know it's a natural reaction, but you can make things, either you can embed the stinger further or you can maybe sting another part of your body, and then that can lead to complications. But now there are exceptions. I've never come across it. Some people may take an allergic reaction, in which case you do need to maybe go to the hospital, or even better, go into the NOW doc for, you'll probably get seen quicker, and they may be able to take it from there. But like I've been stung loads of times over the years. Sometimes it goes away itself. And if not, you just boil the kettle, get the hot water out. And and then I suppose the other thing to say is that, like, it's, in the grand scheme of things, they're very uncommon. Like I think in the surf school down in Bundoran, we've had, I would say actually thousands of people passing through all summer long during the summer season. Over the case of 3 months, we've had fewer than, I would say, 3 or 4 weaver fish instances. And generally, we just get them in the hot water, and then they're back in the water the next day, if not within an hour. Sometimes they can just go straight back in. And then the final thing is, I'll give you a few tips to actually prevent this happening at all.
Good stuff.
If you are going out and if it's a low tide, even usually they can't sting through any kind of booty or those rubber water shoes, even the little boots that you get in you know, cheap in the supermarket.
Little Aldi, yeah, I know where you're coming from. You've seen them. They're always slip on yokes.
I don't know if I can mention them.
No, it's fine. The kind of black mesh on top with a wee rubber sole. I think people will know them,
Yeah. Even those will prevent the sting. And then if you are in the bare feet, if it is a low tide, if you're wading through the water, rather than kind of doing big steps, if you kind of drag your feet through the water as if you're kind of kicking up a bit of sand as you go along when you're walking, That'll scare them off if there is a weaver fish present. But
I've got tingles up my legs.
They're safe.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's very important, isn't it? That we it's great advice, but please don't be afraid to go near the water or make it change your behaviour, because stings are very, very rare. They're always there. We deal with jellyfish and all that type of stuff. And I think it's kind of one of those things, people that use the sea all the time are going like, what are you on about? And then the rest who never use the sea are like, I'm never using the sea. And then there's maybe someone in the middle that they're the ones that get the odd sting here and there. But they're there. They're part of the ecostructure, infrastructure. I'm sure they play some sort of an important role. But your experience is thousands of people through the surf school, and the stings are very few and far between, and people bounce back from them very quickly.
Yeah, and as I said, as a disclaimer, there are exceptions, but I'd say you may take an allergic reaction to it. But like, I'd say if I had to put a statistic on it, I would say in terms of your chance of getting stung by a weaver, I'd say it's definitely less than 1%. And then
from within that, if you were to have some sort of an analeptic reaction or what have you. But someone inclined to perhaps also would be conscious of such reactions to other things as well and would be acutely aware of that. All right, Cian, I like a bit of common sense. This is good. I'm not saying anyone else is exercising not common sense, but just to put something into context for us so people have the knowledge. Knowledge is power.
This is it, and we don't want to scare people out of the water. We like to see people using the water safely.
Hear, hear. Have a great one, Cian. Keep her lit. Thanks so very much indeed. I want to mention that Kilmacrenan Celtic Academy are having a 3K run and walk today. You're invited to come along and support Kilmacrenan Celtic's Academy fundraiser by running or walking on a safe off-road route. You're invited to bring your prams, your dogs and your energy for this fast-paced course. There are cash prizes, refreshments served on the day and chip timing as well, which would be of interest to some of you. It's a tenner to enter for adults, €5 for under 18s. It's at the new pitch Kilmacrenan and it starts this evening at 7:30 p.m. with the race start and finish on the pitch. So if you want to clear the cobwebs this evening, a 3K run or walk, and you want to help support Kilmacrenan Celtic or Celtics Academy, tonight's the night. Now, coming up in September, Jive for June. Well, what are you on about? Jive for June in September, two different months. Well, it's very, very understandable when you hear why. Because you're invited to get your jiving shoes on as the presentation of a check and the final hurrah for Jive for June 2025 takes place. And it is in the wonderful setting of the Clanry Hotel from 8 p.m. on Thursday, the 11th of September. Donations are welcome on the door. It's going to be a great night of dancing. And of course, then the presentation of the check and just a good old final hurrah. Supporting Donegal Hospice, together they care, of course. That's 8 p.m. Thursday, the 11th of September. Next Thursday, in support of Donegal Cancer, in support of Cancer Care West, with a particular focus on Donegal, I am going to take part in the Donegal Camino again this year. And this time I'm doing more, 16 kilometres, the Arranmore Loop. And we're going to do that next Thursday. I'll be linking into this show as well en route. I'm really looking forward to getting back to the island. I haven't been there, I don't believe, since COVID, believe it or not. So I'm really looking forward to that, and we're looking forward to supporting the Donegal Camino all the way. I have a little I Donate page running on my Facebook. Has it been shared by Highland? Probably not. I'm a lone wolf. I have an I Donate page on my Facebook page. If you've got anything to spare, I've got a little modest donation. But the more we, as a family, the Nine Till Noon family, can donate, the better. We did $6,000 last year. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near that unless you are really, really generous or a business that wants to me to plug the living daylights out of them, depending on how much you donated. But we're doing the Arranmore section of the Camino. It kicks off next week, of course. And as I say, if you've got anything to spare, please go to my Facebook page, Greg Hughes. The I Donate is pinned there. I'd appreciate anything at this stage. Please. I don't wish to beg. We'll share it on the Highland Radio Hub page as well, just to give you another opportunity. Obviously, you can donate directly to them, but I would love to us to have a few hundred or a thousand or maybe even more coming from us all on the 9 till noon show, just to say a big thank you to everything the staff at Cancer Care West do. They raised a record amount last year. I hope they do the same this year. Ours is just as much about publicity and promotion, and we're going to do some of that with Noel in the not-too-distant future, Noel Cunningham. But if you can, please, I beg you, go to my Facebook page or the Highland Hub Facebook page, see the I Donate there, and you can spare anything at all. But also, if you've got a lot of money, 500, a grand, can you imagine? It's all going to a good cause, and I'll probably be crippled next Friday, so you might get some pleasure out of that as well. I would appreciate any support that you can give. And there are still places on the Donegal Camino where you can walk all of it, different parts of our beautiful county. We'll tell you more about that as the dates get closer. But as I say, if you can donate, go to my page, I Donate Facebook page. We'll share it on the Highland Hub Facebook page as well. And I'd really, really appreciate anything. If you could get me to a grand, I would do cartwheels, literally on the beach in Arranmore. All right, let's take a break. Back with more shortly. The 5th annual Donegal Camino takes place from Sunday the 31st of August to Saturday the 6th of September 2025. I'll be taking part in day 5 of the Camino with the Aranmore Loop Walk on Thursday the 4th of September. It's a 16-kilometre walk and I'll be doing live links from beautiful Aranmore. Last year, the Donegal Camino raised an impressive €122,000, record-breaking sum. They're hoping to surpass that amount again this year with your help. You can donate at idonate.ie/event/Donegal Camino 25 with all proceeds in aid of Cancer Care West, who provide amazing services to cancer patients and their families.
Yep, did that in one take. Now, I also want to say that you can go to my Facebook page as well and you can donate there. And it's also being shared on the Highland Hub Facebook page. I've greased the appropriate palms to ensure that happens. Right, you might remember 6 years ago, a comedy play called Three Hail Marys took the country by storm, selling out venues across Ireland for almost 2 years. And what's unique about the play is that it's part, apart from it being set in an Irish nursing home, it deals with the subject of memory loss. Playwright Tommy Maron joins me on the show now because you're going to get an opportunity to see this very popular piece of work once again. Hi, Tommy. Good morning.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you keeping?
I'm good. One take was something I never associated with Greg Hughes.
I know, but it's just come with age and experience. Well, you see, it's all the more impressive because I actually work for 3 hours a day, whereas you only knock two out. And if you take out the ads and everything else, probably 1 hour, 35 minutes. I don't know how you get paid, Tommy.
Yeah, well, the older you get, the less they give you.
Isn't that true? Right. What does it feel like getting three Hail Marys back out there again? Is this your seminal piece? Is this the one that's most important to you?
Yes, it is, because for loads of reasons, because so much so it resonates with audiences, because, you know, up to this writing of Three Hail Marys, it was like full-blown comedy, silly comedy, really. It's the Real McCoy, Nobody's Talking to Me, Matches and Old Flames, the latest one, is just full of fun. Whereas Three Hail Marys, although it's a comedy and it's very funny, is also very poignant because it tells the story of memory loss. And I said this to you, Greg, when we spoke before, when you're writing something that's funny about a serious subject, you better get it right. So it was set around these three ladies, all in their 70s, Mary O'Toole, Mary O'Neill, and Mary O'Brien. And they're living in a nursing home in Ireland. And it's 2016. And it's the day that the three of them are going to be separated because they're doing renovations in the nursing home and they're being split up. And it's a very sad day in many ways because they decide to tell each other's their life stories. And even though they've been together for over 11 years, they never really got into the nitty gritty of their own pasts. So it's a proud piece for me because, you know, we did this for a week in the Olympia, which was a great achievement for an amateur group to do that. And it resonated with so many people, not just with people who have family and friends who have dementia or memory loss, but also for people who work in that particular sector and for people who have no idea of what it's like to live with somebody with memory loss, to actually get into the perspective of that individual and to see what can happen. And even though it's a very sad situation, it also has its funny moments. And I tried to capture both in this production.
When did you realise that you had properly straddled the various horses in terms of, you know, delivering something that's entertaining, delivering something that's funny, but also tackling a subject that could be easy to offend people on? When did you realise that you had got that balance to such correct to such an extent?
I think the first production, first night of the tour was for me the memory one that sticks with me. It was down in the Watergate in Kilkenny, and I was really nervous because we'd done a test audience in Mayo, which is our home area, so you would be expecting people to say it was great. But when you go to a strange place like Kilkenny, where I wouldn't be known, and you go out on that stage and you present what we presented, and to get the reaction that we got at the end of the show, because the show finishes with a song that I wrote, which is called I'm Really Still the Same, which is written from the perspective of a person with memory loss. And to see the audience stand up literally as the last note of that song played was for me the testament that, look, this is going to work, because we always meet the audiences afterwards. And I was nervous that, you know, not, if you have 350 people sitting in front of you watching a show, not everybody's going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And you expect people to come up and say it was okay and move on, and others to say it was fantastic and move on, and then others who won't come up at all. And I was expecting maybe the odd person to come up and say maybe they thought this needed to be changed or that needed to be tweaked. But genuinely, and I'm not lying about this, Greg, to a person, not just in Kilkenny, but when we did that tour 4 years ago, the amount of people who came up and said, you know, you got that exactly right. And I don't know how I got it right, because I don't know anybody in my family circle with dementia or memory loss. So I always say it comes from on high, whatever you believe in. I don't even really remember writing the play, but I do know that I typed it down on sheets of paper, and it has worked incredibly well. It's a really strong piece of theatre.
Yeah, and I mean, I think too, probably to an extent, there's going to be a good portion of that audience that do have experience of this, and it makes it, they can relate to it, they're with other people that can relate to it, and maybe it helps them sort of work through it a little bit as well, because we can feel very isolated, whether you are the person with memory loss or dementia, but also if you are the partner or the family, and you know there are feelings and senses you get, you often hear about losing a person multiple times and all of that type of stuff. And it's nice, I think, when this stuff is talked out in the open. And I think also too, what happened with this, you know, I can't necessarily, you know, trace the history back from one piece of work to three Hail Marys. But I think it did certainly inspire other people to sort of start dealing with tricky subjects, to be, you know, to get the confidence to write something important to them, and know that audience, if they do it right, will accept that. And I've seen some other tricky subjects since you did this work where they've also been, you know, brought to life on stage. And I think the success of Three Hail Marys, not just locally, but on the national stage, as you mentioned there, has sort of empowered or encouraged other writers.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, again, the test is always in the audiences. And I remember when we were in Limerick and there was a lady in the audience, and we were doing three nights in Limerick, and she was actually one of the key lecturers in nursing in UL. And she came on the opening night of the show. And on the third night of the show, she brought 37 of her students to the show. Wow. Because she was dealing with nursing, and obviously within nursing is the whole area of memory loss. And she said on the night that she saw the play, said, I'm going to bring as many of my students to this show on Sunday night, because this is what they need to see, because this is exactly how it is. So it's not dressed up. It is funny. It's very funny. 300 laughs, I guarantee you, in 2 hours. And I mean that. And,
no, you know,
the main ingredient of every play I've done is that you have to attain 300 laughs in 2 hours. And I think we're way over that with this one. But, you know, it also has lovely, poignant moments. And it's sad near the end, because they have to say goodbye to each other, and the audiences at that stage have fallen in love with the three Marys, even though they've fought and they've sang and they've danced and they've done all sorts of things with each other for the previous 1 hour and 45 minutes. But then suddenly it's goodbye time, and it does strike a huge chord with audiences as well. So when you can get that kind of hilarity for so long and then suddenly complete silence, you know, as a playwright, it doesn't get any better than that.
Okay, brilliant stuff. Now, there's going to be multiple audiences for this. There are going to be those that want to relive the experience and go and watch Three Hail Marys again. And just to be absolutely clear, by the way, it is... Do I have the dates actually here in front of me?
Don't worry, I have them.
Yes, of course. It's the 5th of September, sorry, Friday the 5th of September, Saturday, Saturday, September 6th. But there's going to be those who want to come back, and then there's going to be others that have heard about it, and there's going to be others that are hearing this because our life change is such that this might have more of a resonance in someone's life than it might have. And that is actually really what, unfortunately, what life and the likes of memory loss and dementia is all about. So you'll look forward to seeing, I'm sure, Tommy, returning guests, so to speak, but also people who've heard about it and those who may find it more relevant to them now. Though you don't have to have, by the way, sorry, Tommy, I keep talking. I just want to be clear, you don't actually have to have someone in your life that's affected by this. It's for a broad audience. Yeah, it's for a broad audience.
And the age profile of the audience has been incredible, from literally 21 up to 85. And I just want to say, I've tweaked the script, Greg. I've developed a few of the characters and I've changed some of the script. So even if people have seen it before, and lots of people came to see this play 3 and 4 times the last time we did the tour, it is actually a new script in many ways, and the characters have been developed even more. So this night week and tomorrow night week in On Grain On, and I'm really looking forward. It's the first night of our tour, by the way.
Oh wow, fantastic. So, brilliant. Yeah. Okay, so get your tickets now. Get on to the On Grain On box office. You can get on to ongreenon.com or give them a call right now on 074 91 20777. And it sounds like it would be a really good night, especially an intergenerational night as well too. So get along to that Friday and Saturday, the first two nights of the tour. And there's nothing's guaranteed that we might see it again in the future either. I'm sure maybe you have something penciled in, but nothing is guaranteed in that regard, Tommy.
Okay. But listen, thanks, Greg. It's great to be heading back up to Letterkenny next week. Looking forward to it. And the three Hail Marys are too.
All right, brilliant stuff. Thanks so much, Tommy Maron, who is, of course, a presenter on Midwest Radio, a very popular, one of the most popular morning shows, actually, in the country. Me and him used to work together, actually, back in the days of Northwest Radio. Midwest Radio had this thing where they there was some crossover programming between Midwest and Northwest. It was kind of the same and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he's back up here in Donegal next Saturday. It's the Three Hail Marys. We're going to try and get along to that ourselves, actually, because I've talked about it in the past and I need to sort of start following through and stuff that I want to do. And I do want to go along and see that. So I look forward to hopefully getting that in the bag and maybe talking about it then thereafter. Right, okay, Three Hail Marys on Grain On Theatre next Friday. So that's today week, next Saturday, tomorrow week. Get along to the box office on greenon.com or call 07491 20777. All right, Noel Cunningham, patron of Cancer Care Northwest. We're talking about the fifth Donegal Camino. It's had such an impact. It's raised so much money for Cancer Care West. My word, it's even formally recognised by Donegal County Council. We've got Donegal Camino Day. Noel, lovely to see you. How are you keeping? Are you excited?
Oh my goodness, I'm extremely excited. It's just, you know, how it's grown. We're into our fifth year. It has become actually one of the main fundraisers for that amazing centre in Letterkenny. And when you see families like the Friel family rowing in behind it to do it again, and you, for example, you're going to be out an hour and more with us. And it's just a kind of a magical week that's very hard to describe. And it pretty much now sells itself, which is so incredible. And now all we try to do is increase the amount of money we raise every year. And whatever means that takes, we will do our level best to do so.
Okay, so it sells itself, but I want to sell it a little bit more too. Can people still join the whole Camino, join certain parts of it, you know, maybe assess which walk might best suit their ability? There's still options there, isn't there?
Well, what I would say, and I should say it with some pride, that we only have 3 days now left with spaces. But go online, because you never know when someone drops out due to unforeseen circumstances. So that would create availability. But it's a marvellous boast on our part.
Is there availability for Aaron Moore?
No, I don't think so. Okay. No, I was sort of checking this morning, Aaron Moore. Sure, how could there be, Greg? You're going out.
I know. I might walk topless, send everyone home happy.
Oh, my goodness. We will be overwhelmed.
Right, donegalcamino.ie. There's still an opportunity for you to support it. I would love if you could back my little effort by going to our Facebook page and donating through there, or going on to donegalcamino.ie directly. It's all raising money for an amazing service. It's an amazing service that many, many people have used, continue to use. It's an amazing service that will be there when we need it. We've been talking about Letterkenny's Cancer Care West office, and people who've just got a cancer diagnosis have heard us talking about it and went up, and their very difficult journey became more manageable because they realised there was support there and they do amazing stuff. And I think once you've visited that centre, you become part of that family, such is the impact it has on you. And an easy ask for any of us, Noel, to get involved in supporting what they do down there.
Indeed, and I would make a special plea if you go on the Donegal Communal page, not only to support you, Greg, thank you, and thank you to the Rabbit family, thank you to your general manager there at the station. It's amazing that Highland Radio are involved. But I would also ask, when you're on the Donegal Communal page, you will find on the tabs the Donegal Communal, the Donegal Camino Sunday. And what we're trying to do is to get people who live and work abroad in Australia, Canada, America, to get involved this coming Sunday. There's a link there that you can donate on. Do a walk, do a run, do a hike, do whatever you wish. Mm. But join us in spirit. Definitely. And help us raise our amount.
Okay, I'll give that a good push next week. Lovely to see you, Noel. Thank you so very much indeed. That is Noel Cunningham there, who is the... who is, of course, the patron of Cancer Care West. If you can donate, please do. I would love you to, especially through our page here, because it means we can say this is from the Nine Till Noon show, the Highland Radio family, because we appreciate everything that you do. So go to our Facebook page, Highland Radio Hub. Go to our Facebook page, Highland Radio Hub, or my own Facebook page, Greg Hughes. Well, look at them, Shannon Wilkin. She's lounging on a, the smiles are there at the moment, Shannon. I beg your pardon.
I'm laughing at you.
Why?
This is my crib, Greg. Welcome to my crib.
Grant, you didn't bring a microphone with you, no?
Oh, look, I'm clipped up, but then I forgot the actual handheld part.
Well,
so.
You could just hold the bit that I could hear you properly with. That would do.
You can't hear me, can you?
Oh, I can hear you when you do that. Yeah, hold it up to your mouth. I see them do that
right on
YouTube.
Okay.
Right, okay. So your tent is there. You've got your cooler box. You've got your two seats out. You've got neighbours, but they're not too close to you. What is the buzz down at Electric Picnic?
So it's actually madness. Yesterday we ended up in the Red Car Park, but we are in the guest campsite. So it took us 53 minutes to walk with our gear. Had to do a second run. Decided then, you know what, we're better off in the yellow. Got a wee bit lost. Lashing rain. Got wet last night because the tent isn't pitched properly because it was dark and we couldn't see. The toilet situation is already pretty gross, but everyone is on a good vibe, Greg, so that's the main thing.
Can we have a quick pan around of the campsite just to get an idea of it?
So this is actually one of the emptiest campsites. So this is the guest campsite. You have to be pre-booked to go into this one. But Charlie Chaplin and Oscar Wilde are still available, but all other campsites are booked out. We have a wee bit of a glamping tent over here. You can kind of see the tops of the teepees. And then there are a few of the fun fair rides just in the background. So we were hit with this last night until about 2 in the morning. But there's actually a wee lake where you can go swimming as well. We're not far from the lake, so that'll be nice, a wee freshen up,
because the showers are limited as well.
Right, the sound just improved dramatically there, whatever happened. Someone's leg's about to come out of that tent behind you. Maybe you need to move. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh no. The joys of live radio. Huh?
So come here. Who are you looking forward to seeing today?
So Chapel Ronan Hosier are headlining tonight. So obviously that's very exciting. Hosier's starting at 10:30 and Chapel Roan I think is around 8:30. But in general, it's just so nice to see people. Like even our cooler, it fell over, tipped over, all the drinks fell out twice. And we made friends. People came over and they were like, let me help you with that. Like people are just very friendly, which is nice to see.
Brilliant stuff. A lot of talk, I suppose, on campsite. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, is it, getting engaged now? Is it Kelce? Right. This is one of those stories that you either think this is great news and it's important, or you're wondering, why the hell does anyone care? But it's been making proper news.
It has, and I actually saw a funny enough story of a PR professor over in America. So he had told the students, hey, class is cancelled due to this engagement. And he ended up going viral, and he used that as a lesson of how cultural moments can affect PR. So I thought that was very interesting.
How many microphones are connected to that phone out of interest? Is it two or one?
Just one, unless you're picking me up through my earbuds as well.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening. That's precisely what's happening. It's switching between the two. I don't know which one's good and which one's bad. So next time, go for one or other. Steve Carell is coming to Ireland. Is that the guy that of Office fame, 40-year-old virgin, etc.?
Yeah, exactly. The one and only. So he's actually done three pub tours that we know of. He was in the iconic Gravediggers in Dublin, world's most famous Guinness. And they actually wrote him a wee letter that he'll be back. Thanks for your hospitality. He was also on Inishman Island over in Galway. So he got to experience the Gaeltacht. And while we're speaking about the Gaeltacht, actually funny story. I was looking at the signs on the way in here. Guess what Strath Valley is as Gaeilge and what it means?
Don't know. Wet tent?
No, Strath Valley is Strath Walla, and that's literally the village. So I am currently in the village, the one and only village. I don't know, is there another Strath Valley somewhere?
Sad news for Bruce Willis fans, because of course we were talking to Tommy Marin a little earlier on about the impacts of dementia, not only on the individual, but the wider family. And he's been dealing with this now for a number of years. And it's another story that will resonate with lots of people listening. Unfortunately, now he's moved out of the home and is in a separate house seeking hands-on care.
Yeah, so his wife, Emma Willis, she has a double barrel name.
Oh,
anyway,
that's the problem.
She has made the decision to move him out of the home because he knew that they wouldn't want the children to see him suffer, and his memory is now going, and also his speech. So, unfortunately, that is sad news, but we're thinking of him.
Thank you very much. I have to leave it on that note. Shannon, enjoy your time there. Thanks to Charlie for helping out as well. Thanks for keeping us dated, giving us a sense of, I think I could get over that fence and maybe slip into that tent as well. It doesn't look very secure to me.
They reckon if you put on a high vis and if you've like no makeup on, you just look like really like natural, you'll get in. Just say your staff, because okay, we've been asking the staff for directions and they're like, nah. I don't know
where you're going. All right. Good luck to you, Egypt. Yeah. Thanks very much indeed. That's our own Shannon Wilkins out enjoying Electric Picnic. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Whatever you do, please. We'll be back with you tomorrow, Monday morning, in fact, at 9.